Zelango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Monday, November 12, 2001, at 11:30 p.m., entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part 17, The 14th Amendment, Part 1. Your guests will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, owner and operator of Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM, Kaka Inko Uhuru. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
is up in this land, it is clear.
Our folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear.
See, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lies can't help him, truth's our weapon, we'll collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old.
'Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought in soul.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio. Giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,528th night of broadcasting. It is indeed time for volume number 617 of the Human Rights Radio co-creation made right for the internet. We call it the Human Rights Patrol, and to help us give a shout out to those stations who bring it to you across the criminal enterprise called the United States and across the planet Earth, let's call upon War Correspondent Commander in Human Rights Radio Air Force, Donna Kanani Kantako, and Zalango to you over there.
Zalango.
It's time to give a shout out to those folks who make this program possible for the many folks who are listening across the criminal enterprise and across criminal across the planet Earth, right? Criminal enterprise called the United States and the planet Earth.
Right.
Get it all right. Be the only one that does, but what the heck, right?
What
you got the shout outs.
Okay, we're gonna say first, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM, Wakaka, Inko, Yuhuru, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, burned by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Thank you very much, Dada Kanani. That sister is Swahili. She'll be black before we get away today to remind y'all who makes this program possible, where you're listening at it, right? Where you're listening to it at. But our guest tonight, by way of telephone, out of the criminal enterprise, Durham, North Carolina, is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, closing in on 1,000 nights of righteous broadcasting. We talk Makaka, Inko, Yuhuru, and Zalango to your warrior.
Zalango, brother, I say freedom to the people, today and always, brother.
Warriors on the telephones with us. How many nights y'all have been broadcasting the righteous conscious information out there in the criminal enterprise called Durham, brother?
948, brother.
948 nights. And, you know, this brother here is one serious researching warrior. And within the underground, you know, the African underground captive community who has been supplying the people with knowledge, this brother has earned this place right there on the front line with the best of them. And it's always a pleasure to get a chance to talk with him, because tonight we're going to talk about something that got a lot of our folks in a little bit of confusion. And that is this boy's constitution. You know, off top, you should know it's a trick, because the first word of it is what? That's right. The first word is con. And you know, somebody run a con game on you, that ain't nothing nice.
Ain't nothing nice, bro.
And you know, it goes back to that primeval group Well, actually, it goes back to that group, Dynastic Egyptians, we talked about last time, Warrior Inko and I, and God called the God of Deception, right, brother?
That's right, bro.
And we should know that we ain't want nothing to do with anything talking about a kind thing, right?
That's right, brother, and, definitely.
In fact, brother, before we get started, last time we talked about we were not Egyptian, and I know a lot of y'all tripping, but we gave the source, I gave the source Chancellor Williams, Elder Scholar Chancellor Williams, A Destruction of Black Civilization, and some of y'all are probably still tripping, but go to page 98, I'm going to make it easy on you, right? Go to page 98, and Chancellor Williams will tell you where those who call themselves Egyptians got everything that they claim that is theirs, right? Now, on the question of the Constitution, you got to know a little bit about those dynastic Egyptians because you got to know where that word kind come from. That's that Holy Ghost and that Father Gun, Father Son thing, right, brother?
That's right, brother.
That's where that's the source of it. That God kind. Psych, thought they was with you. They never was. But anyhow, the 14th Amendment. You know, we probably like most of y'all never tripped on it until Elder Dr. Brock came along, right?
That's right, brother.
And, well, brother, go ahead and bring the information.
Well, brother, you know, Dr. Brock always let us know that we're not citizens. And even the Constitution does not define really what a citizen is, so they just really apply it as they go along. But I'm reading a book today. It's called The Politics of American Democracy by Irish and Prothrow. And I'm on page 233 where it says Privileges and Immunities of the Citizen. And it says Constitutional Basis of American Citizenship. And it says, these are the principles of jus soli and jus sanguinis. It says a nation may establish the citizenship of its people under two general principles of international law. Number one, jus soli, which is the law of the land. And number two, jus sanguinis, law of blood. Under jus soli, the place, the country, in which a person is born determines his citizenship. Under jus sanguinis, the citizenship of the parent is transmitted to the child. Now, brother, that's what Dr. Brock said. We never gave up our African citizenship.
Never did. Never did. Never did. No, you know, we were a captive people, right? Let's remember the stages of how we ended up here, African people. Brother Inko and I having this conversation in this land. We ended up here because some folks figuring out they wanted to come up, and they knew some folks who knew who had already did everything they wanted, like build cities and everything, right? So they came and stole. They invaded our country, our lands, right? They waged war on us when they got there, right?
That's right.
They tried to con us, as Dr. Clark and them always point out. But when we didn't go for that, then, you know, they start banging, man. It's like, hey, put your hands up then, right?
I'm telling you, bro.
They waged war on us. They took us captive as a consequence of that war. They took us from our home. That's when they said, okay, now, you dig what we want? We need some slaves.
That's right.
We need some stuff built for us that we don't know how to build. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to steal you, right?
I'm telling you, bro.
That's the real. That's the real. I'm not going to help. See, I ain't got no question that white folks should have a fight with the king because the king do treat them pretty bad, man. When you know the bottom 40% in this country live off of less than 1% of the wealth, you know there's a whole bunch of white folks in that. But in all honesty, out of respect for all native people, why do those white folks have to fight that battle in this land? Why can't they go back home and fight that battle?
That's right, bro.
In all honesty. I mean, in all realness. I want my human rights. So I'm going to deal with what's true.
And, brother, that's because they only know if they're citizens or not, brother, because it says just here, it says, although the original text of the Constitution mentioned citizens more than half a dozen times, it offered no principle of citizenship. Faced with the problem of defining the status of the free Negro after the Civil War, Congress wrote the principle of jus soli into the 14th Amendment, saying all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Thus did Congress reverse the Dred Scott decision in which Chief Justice Taney had declared that Negroes were not citizens within the intent of the Constitution.
That's right. And they can't. They didn't do that. They can't actually. And then as Dr. Brock furthers the conversation, he says, to which constitution did they make a 14th Amendment?
That's right.
Because the First Amendments are to the Constitution of the United States of America.
That's right.
That's the nation that sits at the United Nations. The amendments that you talked, 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, where African people thought they was granted some sense of due process, they are to a document called the Constitution of the United States.
That's right.
That is not the Constitution that this government is claims represents them, since they sit at the United Nations as the United States of America.
And that's how they play that game, bro.
And when we talk about the two amendments, as Dr. Brock teaches us, that 14th Amendment, as it exists, points out why they say, and to the republic for which it stands, and talking about the flag and their pledge, because this is a Roman republic, and we are Roman property. Our circumstances are governed by Roman civil law.
That's right, bro.
So as we are taught, if you never marched for a civil rights bill, they'd have to write one, as the Roman Republic did every 4 years anyway.
I tell you, bro.
It's like an inventory. What's happening with our property?
Brother, and when they even thought about that, you know, this is right after the Constitution was in 1786, brother. 7 years later, brother, they was writing a Fugitive Slave Act.
Think they what?
And it said, though it mentioned neither Negro nor white, but only persons, was designed by Congress to implement the Fugitive Slave Clause of the Constitution.
It didn't have to say Negro or white because we was the only ones designated as persons.
That's right.
We was the only ones designated, not a people, but as persons.
And plus, bro, we was the only ones that they could see and know we was out of place.
We was the only ones that would break and run.
That's right, bro.
They didn't worry about, you know why they didn't worry about white slaves running? Because they knowed better.
That's right, bro.
That was a thing taught back in feudalism, man. You dig what I'm saying? Have you ever seen them talking about putting the Mayflower in reverse?
No, bro.
You know why? Man, they get them back there. Man, it still ain't nothing nice back there.
That's right.
It still ain't nothing nice.
That's right, bro.
They say, you know, when the Western so-called, the Polish shipyard workers so-called rose up in the day, they said, man, in the middle of the day, in them shipping towns, in them factory towns in Poland, with the sun out, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face because of the pollution from them factories.
That's right, brother. And I'm going to break that just sandwich down. You know, my father, World Correspondent Sid Kai, he brought up the point that we have dual citizenship, brother. And it speaks on this right here. It says, thus a person born abroad of American parents may be American citizen. And also, someone, a person born abroad of alien parents, they can come here and be a citizen.
Right. Right. And that we were born, and you got to go back to what Brother El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Warrior Malcolm X taught us all, was that if a pregnant mama cat climbed up in the oven and had its babies, they would not be biscuits.
That's right.
We are African people, you know, and we need to comprehend we have never relinquished our citizenship to our homelands. Many African nations today grant us citizenship. That's right. And if you find out, those are the ones that G.W. Littlebush and his posse be attacking.
That's right.
The ones that recognize that we have never relinquished our citizenship rights to our homeland. Now, they would like us to think that that's not an issue. I mean, we're having such a great time here together, right?
And brother, you know, for all the brothers and sisters out there who right now are still saying, I'm a citizen, it says, privileges and immunities of citizens of the United States. The 14th Amendment prohibits the states from abridging the privileges and immunities of citizens of the United States. But nowhere in the Constitution is there any complete listing of these privileges and immunities.
You're right. It's a privilege system.
That's right.
See, and this is why those that come from the feudal system, the European theater, they're used to titles, because with titles come privileges.
That's right, bro.
There's not an issue of natural rights with them. That's not an issue. even though they wrote it off in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. See, those are supposed to not be, those are supposed to be recognizing the natural rights of those who are citizens, but yet they never really got clear about who you was.
That's right, bro.
I know, you know who it wasn't. It wasn't us African people.
That's right, because they talked to us in Article 4, brother, Section 2.
What'd they say about us in Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3, brother?
It says, no person held to service or labor in one state under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall in consequence of any law or regulation therein be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due.
Now, as we got to give respect to Dr. Brock for hipping us to this trip, there are seven clauses in this Constitution that basically make the Constitution. And when you add up the dang old president being called commander-in-chief and throw that in with it, it makes the Constitution from the beginning to African captives a document of martial law. You can find programs in our library where we're claiming they might step up or come with martial law. We didn't know this kind of research until Dr. Brock brought it to our attention. But when you dig on it, held in that particular clause and section, Inco-Red tells you right there, we wasn't going to cooperate.
That's right, bro.
H-E-L-D. It says we ain't, it, they recognize we wouldn't cooperate.
That's right, bro.
Because they said those folks would be held in slavery or servitude.
That's right, bro.
See, that's an act against somebody's will.
And that's no citizen, bro.
No, you don't hold no citizen in slavery or servitude. Oh, well, you know, in Greece, Athens in particular, not Sparta, where they said they were more warlike. But in Athens, 10 out of 11 were slaves.
That's right, bro.
The Roman Empire was 95% slaves.
That's right, bro.
You know, you look, when you see you got the top 1% up in this country with more wealth than the bottom 99%, what do you think you got other than the same situation?
That's right, bro.
Now, if folks want to entertain their pathological illnesses by pretending that this ain't the circumstances that they in, well, fine, I ain't going to argue with them. But I think we have a responsibility to put the information together, bring it to you. You do with it what you will. You know what I'm saying? We want our human rights, so we got to be in pursuit of what the truth is in terms of resolving the circumstances that we in.
That's right, bro.
Because I know this. I'm tired of all the unnecessary suffering. And I do know there's got to be a greater power, or if you check the research I've checked, these fools would have took everything out by now. These ones that call themselves the leader of the free world, right?
That's right, bro.
The actual leaders of the uncivilized world. Brother, what else you got on there, 14th Amendment?
Well, brother, also, I had it right here, but it also talks about in here that when they were discussing the word persons and the 14th Amendment, brother, it also applies to corporations.
Right. Well, if you think about a person, only a people are recognized at the UN. There are no groups there recognized as persons. This is a non-entity. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
When they gave us that designation.
That's right.
They basically wrote us out of the human race.
And also, brother, you know who else are citizens?
Who's that, brother?
So-called aliens that come to this country. Once they all they got to do is register that they're here, and they have all the privileges that any other so-called person in this criminal enterprise has, brother.
Well, brother, you know, one thing I got to tell folks, I asked my mama and my grandmama, and my mama and my daddy's side, and nobody had any knowledge of anybody in the family ever receiving papers where our family, any member of our family, was made citizens in this country. And as we try to stress this issue in different theaters, us with Human Rights Radio and Dr. Brock and his reparations efforts and stuff, and others throughout the country stepping into this devil's court system and challenging his right to taxes and different things, this boy cannot and will not produce one document that will clarify how was it, when was it, African people were made citizenship. Because if you go back to the 14th Amendment, he says subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Well, we didn't agree with that.
That's right, bro.
So since there was no mutuality, he can't subject us to the jurisdiction of nothing.
And brother, there are two stages in the formal process of naturalization.
And we ain't been through none of them.
The first one is the applicant files a petition with the court for an examination.
Did you do that?
And after a public hearing before a naturalization examiner, the court grants him final papers.
Well?
He must swear that he is not a polygamist, an incarnist, a communist, or supporter of any totalitarian government, and that he intends to reside permanently in this country.
Well, I mean, and they have the ceremony every so often at the federal building, right?
That's right.
Where the federal, you know, cat get down there with the dress on and everybody put up their hand and say, hey, I'm going to be like, you know, a zombie to what y'all want me to do, you know?
That's right.
And we never have if we were free, why then would we not have an opportunity to say, well, no thanks, we want our back pay, we up out of here, right?
And brother, let's check out this national origins right quick.
Go ahead, brother.
National origins is how they determine how many people they're going to let immigrate in here. The total is broken down into fractions based on national origins. The number of immigrants who can be admitted from any foreign country in any given year is 1/6 of 1% of the number of persons in the United States in 1920 whose national origin could be attributed to that country. Now, they're still going back to 1920 to add this stuff up. The national origin policy was designed to admit the largest number of immigrants from Northern and Western Europe.
Let me tell you something.
The smallest number from Southern and Eastern Europe, brother.
Man, well, let me tell you something. When they started singing the national anthem, they were singing that to their relatives, talking about, don't come over here.
That's right, brother.
They was posting up on their own ancestors, trying to come over, do some Mayflower stuff theyself. You dig what I'm saying? They was like, go back. Go back.
That's right.
Right? They had burnt the family album, man. They didn't want nobody from there coming. Right?
And, brother, check this out.
Go ahead, brother.
He said there are many arguments for this policy of national origin, but most of them sound like a page out of Hitler's Mein Kampf.
Well, you know, Hitler read whose book? Was it Henry Ford's book?
That's right, brother.
And what was Henry Ford's policy on keeping wages down? Keeping hungry men at the gate.
That's right, brother.
Hey, brother, it's time for us to get out of here. We never have enough time to talk when we get together, but I think the folks get the flavor. The Constitution that they say that grants you due process tend to grant you due process because even if you were, if it did, you're not the citizen that they claim you are.
That's
you,
right, brother.
You are but Roman Republic property. Right?
And brother, I'm going to give out the sources right quick.
Go ahead, Warren.
We're coming from Equal Under Law, originally published as the Anti-Slavery Origins of the 14th Amendment by Jacobus Tinbrook, and The Politics of American Democracy by Irish and Prothero.
Sound like you're breaking out some good white sources on them, brother.
That's right, brother.
Hey, you know, you got to bring it like that. Warrior, I tell you what, it's been beautiful having you with us. Remind the folks, if they're on the East Coast in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, you can hear Science Kick like this 24/7 at Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM with Warrior Inko Yahuru. Hold on the line 1 second, brother. We want to get Kanadi to acknowledge the stations that are making this program possible across the Human Rights Information Network. And again, Zalango to you, Kanadi over there.
Zalango.
You want to again shout out to those stations and those good folks out there who make this program possible and throughout the Human Rights Information Network?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, Warren.
Okay, we're going to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yahuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, run by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
If you want more Human Rights Radio where you're listening to this program, talk to the folks that make this program possible for you, and they can make that possible. That's right. If you want more Human Rights Radio, talk to the folks that make this program possible. Again, we want to thank you for being with us tonight, Warrior Inko.
Lango, brother. Tell the people to keep on marching because we see the signs, brother.
Kanadi, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on the telephones with us tonight, first in the studio with us tonight, out of the Criminal Enterprise Called Springfield, Illinois. Y'all know the sister. She's war correspondent, commander of the Human Rights Radio Air Force, Dada Kanadi Kentaco. And on the telephones with us tonight, out of the Criminal Enterprise Called Durham, North Carolina. Owner and operator of Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise Called Durham, North Carolina, is war correspondent, commander of the Human Rights Radio Air Force. Owner and operator of Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM. That's Kaka Inko Yohuru. I'm in Bata Kentaco. We're in our 4,528th night of broadcasting here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois at 106.5 FM. And there is no question about it. You know by now you're listening to the people's choice because the people choose to listen to
Human Rights Radio Network.
We will remember the humanity. Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving,
sharing,
and creative.
We will work,
study,
and listen,
so we may learn,
so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect and unify our homeland. We will raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline,
patience,
devotion,
and courage. We will live as models to provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determining.
We are African people.
Aluta!
Continua!